Island, Florida, and you are tuned into the Refresh Radio program, and I pray that you are having a great and glorious day. We want to say thank you to the folks at WMIE who helped make this radio program possible through their investment in the technology that takes radio waves all throughout Brevard County. And we want to say thank you to the folks at Merit Assembly of God who make the financial aspects of this radio program possible. So thank you to both of those. And if you do not have a church home, we pray that you would find a church home. We would love for Merit Assembly of God to be that house of worship that you choose to worship in. So a couple of weeks ago, I was invited to take part in a survey, and it was asking me, you know, what I thought that the future of the church looked like in 10 years. And it was asking me about big churches and small churches. It was asking, you know, all sorts of questions. And here's what I think. They also asked if we thought that the societal climate, what we thought of it and the impact it was going to have on the church. And here's what I think. I think people need the church more now than they've ever needed it before. I think we need big churches. I think we need small churches. I think we need medium-sized churches. And I think that we need people who they go about their daily lives in an organic manner, impacting others for the kingdom of God. I appreciate organization and all of that, but I believe that it is something about being that really impacts society. And so I pray that you will find a church where they will help you to be everything that God created you to be. So with that being said, we are going to go today to the book of Psalms. We're going to be in Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse number 1. We're going to read 5 verses here today, and this is going to lead us into our study for tomorrow. Yesterday, we were talking about how God guides the humble in justice. That was in Psalm 25. Today, Psalm 33, verses 1 through 5 says this: "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." So today we are going to do like part one, and we may actually migrate a little bit into tomorrow's text as well, depending on what time allows. But over the next couple of broadcasts, maybe 3 broadcasts, we are going to see reinforced from Scripture the fact that God loves justice. God loves justice. And we have responsibility. We have actions that we can take that set the stage for that justice to be manifest in a tangible manner throughout society. So let's look here at verse number 1. The reason that we're going to look here is because in verse number 4, it says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice." So we need to see what set the stage for verse 4. We're going to see that in verses 1, 2, and 3. We're going to talk about we're going to talk about 3 things that are very important in the life of a person who's in right standing with God. The first of those, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful." So when you are looking at the reality of of God in the situation, a lot of times when we look at situations, we assess those situations by what we see, what we feel, what we touch, what we hear, what we experience. But many times those assessments leave out an essential element, and that is the God factor. What does God have to say about this situation? What is God doing in this situation? And whenever we add the God factor to that formula, if you will, the assessment of what's going on, it changes it. All of a sudden, a hopeless situation can be a situation where we're filled with confident expectation of what God is going to do. The situation could be assessed to be extremely discouraging, but when you factor in God, all of a sudden you see that there is reason to rejoice. I think of this when I think of the servant of Elisha who woke up one morning and went out and looked around the city and saw that the city was surrounded by Assyrian troops. And he's like, this is not good. And Elisha said, God, open his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he looked around, and the troops that were surrounding them were surrounded by an angelic host. All of a sudden, the situation did not look nearly as bleak. You can rejoice. You can rejoice in the Lord. And so one of my big emphasis that I like to make in people's lives is I don't want Jesus just to be your Savior. I want him to be your Lord. I want you to see him as sovereign in every area of your life, because that makes it possible for you to rejoice, because he is competent, he is equipped, he is wise, he is compassionate, and he loves you. And so he's going to minister in a powerful, powerful way. And so you can rejoice in his person, you can rejoice in his character, because what did we say? God loves justice. He's never going to tell you to act justly while he is acting unjustly. That's what happens in an unjust world. In an unjust world, people who are unjust demand those around them to behave in a just manner. But the shoe doesn't fit both feet. God is 100% just, and he's 100% merciful. So you can rejoice in him, and because he has restored you to fellowship and reconciled the relationship that we have with the Father, the second element is that we are supposed to praise him. For praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. And so that doesn't mean that the only way to praise God is through music or through instrumentation. You use the tools that you have. You don't want me playing the piano for you. You don't want me playing the drums for you. The church really didn't want me playing the tambourine for them when I first became pastor. That was the only musical instrument that we had, so I was using that to try and keep the beat, keep the melody. God was merciful in those days, because it is not about your skill level, it is about the worth that you have ascribed to God. Now we're going to talk about the skill factor here in just a moment, but really, worship begins with the heart. It is our response in saying, God, we are going to praise you. I believe that that is a celebration. It is a celebration of what God has done. And praise leads into worship, because that is where we celebrate who God is. He is worthy. You know, there are songs that I have known for decades, that when I start singing them, all of a sudden, it does more than just impact my vocal cords and my breathing and my ears and other people's ears. It touches the heart of God. There is something behind that. I saw an interview a few weeks ago, or saw just a little bit of an article, and it was a person who had tried out for one of these singing competition shows, and they said, "Well, what did you learn when you didn't win that?" And they said, "What I learned was that my heart gets activated." This is a Bob Arthur's paraphrase. "My heart gets activated whenever I'm worshiping." That there was something beyond the breathing and the muscles, the diaphragm, and the pitch and the tempo and the volume. There was something else that took place whenever there was worship. And that was, at that point in time, it wasn't a performance. It was adoration of the King. So we, if we want to see a manifestation of justice, we need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to praise and worship the Lord. And the third thing that we see in verse number 3, Psalm 33, verse number 3, "Sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy." And what I have written down here is that we do need to improve our skills. We do need to improve our skills. We need to enhance our skills. So, again, a few weeks ago, my daughter had to come into town for work, and I like talking to my kids because they've all grown in areas. They're all fantastic kids. If you ever see pictures of them together, they can be serious, but they can also have a lot of fun together. It's just kind of the atmosphere. We're not perfect parents. We weren't perfect parents. We're not perfect grandparents, but we wanted our kids to enjoy the seasons of their life. And so they've all come out relatively well adjusted. Their father has impacted them in a number of ways. And so they get their looks from their mother, and that's a good thing. We were having this conversation, and my daughter was in a position where she was having to interview someone. And the question she asked was something along this lines. I don't know who it was or anything like that, but it's the question that caught my mind. It said, "During the last year, during this coronavirus shutdown, tell me something about yourself that you have improved. Tell me about something that you've worked on. Tell me about an area in which you've grown." So I want to ask you today, as a born-again child of God, over the past year, or plug in any period of time that you want, what is it that you have matured in? How has your walk with God grown? How has it improved? What's changed? What hasn't changed? What do you want to change? What's the plan to change that? What is the strategy? What's the timeline? What are you willing to invest in to change that? There's a lot of areas that need to be addressed, assessed, and acted upon. And so if you just have information but you do not have an action plan, you are never going to improve on those things. I'm afraid that too many times Christians get to a plateau and they get stuck there. And they never improve. And so we want you to grow. I pray that you are better at worship now than you were when you first got saved. I pray that you are better at evangelism now than you were when you first got saved. Better at studying the Word of God than you were. More faithful in attending church than you were at the very beginning. I pray that you've learned to be a more godly spouse or a more godly parent, that you have learned to worship God with your finances, that you have grown to appreciate the thus says the Lord, so that when you are going throughout your life that you can make those corrections. You know, if God says something needs to be changed, it needs to be changed. And so I want to encourage you to improve and do it with joy, because it says play skillfully with a shout of joy. Too many people are comfortable giving God their leftovers instead of giving him their very best. Worship, worth, and ship combined to form a word, God deserves your very best. Now, you're not as young as you used to be. I'm not as young as I used to be. You know, later this week, somebody's having a birthday, and then the week after that, I'm having a birthday. And, you know, I can tell you, I'm not as young as I used to be, but I can still give God my very best of what I've got left. And so I would encourage you greatly to do that. So three things that we're talking about here, setting the stage: rejoice in the Lord, praise him, worship him, and play skillfully with a shout of joy. Improve yourself with joy. Verse number 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of God." So verse number 4 talks about, in response to all of that, or the reason for all of that, is because the word of the Lord is right. You can debate with God all you want. God's still going to be right. The Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Okay, so I told this story one other time, I think, but I used to work in a shopping mall, and we were not the busiest store around, hence we're not there anymore. But there was a person that worked in the establishment next to me, and I knew what church that they went to, but they would stop by and they would say, every once in a while, there's something that is said from the pulpit, and they just wanted to get up and scream, "That's not right." And I don't know the specifics. I can tell you this. I know a lot of pastors in the area. I don't know any perfect pastors in the area. I know some wonderful pastors in the area. I know a lot of people. There's a lot of people that I wouldn't mind getting saved under their ministry. I don't know that I'd want to sit under their ministry, but there are other people that I recognize that God is using them in a powerful way. And, you know, I see the kingdom of God advancing. This particular person, they didn't describe everything that was being talked about, but I can tell you this. If you have bought into the social agenda that is being promoted in our times instead of the biblical standard, then there's going to be a point of conflict there. And you can stand up and say that's not right, but in reality, God's word is going to be truth, and it is going to manifest wisdom in my lifetime, my kids' lifetime, my grandkids' lifetime, and my parents' lifetime, my grandparents. You go, the word of God is going to be true. It is going to be shown to be correct all the time. All his work is done in truth. I like this. In fact, I circled the word all. All his work is done in truth. Let me say it to you this way. All his work is done in truth. Everything God does is upright. One of the things that I tell people is this, there are many differences between the way that God does things and the way that the devil does things. The devil tries to deceive you into doing something that he knows and you know shouldn't be done, but he tries to get you to rationalize it. And he doesn't tell you the cost factor. He doesn't tell you the consequence. He doesn't tell you the distance that it's going to put between you and God. He doesn't talk about the damage that it will do to relationships between you and other people. Doesn't talk about that it could cost you your freedom. It could cost you your eternity. He doesn't discuss any of those things with you until after you've said yes to doing it his way. He operates in stealth, in scheming. He deals in a secretive manner and only reveals the things that are necessary to get you enticed to do what he wants you to do. God operates by a completely different paradigm. And the paradigm that he operates with is this. This is what I'm going to do. And no weapon formed against it is going to prosper. When I send forth my word, it's going to accomplish the task I sent it for. It's not going to return to me void. It's not going to miss the mark. This is what I'm going to do. And there's not a power in earth. There's not a power in heaven. There's not a power in hell that is going to prevent this from coming to pass. When Jesus said he was coming again, he's coming again. You know, it wasn't that long ago that if you looked at the prophetic timeline or the prophetic events that are described in the Word of God, you would say, there's no way, there's not a technology available that could come to pass. The things that you do in secret shall be shouted from the rooftops. Well, now you don't even have to have an antenna. You can get it on your phone. Every eye shall see what is done halfway across. That used to not be possible. Now you can watch it in real time. When you talked about, or when the Bible talks about that no one would be able to buy and sell that without taking the mark of the beast, you thought, well, that sounds extremely far-fetched. It doesn't seem far-fetched in 2021. All his work is done in truth. When you read it in the Word of God, you know, there's a statement that said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's actually one step too far. God said it, that settles it, now you believe it. Okay? His Word is settled. This is the point. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. He loves righteousness and justice. He loves righteousness and justice. He loves it when people are in right standing with him. I don't know about you. I hate conflict. I don't like it when there is tension in a relationship. I may have told you, you know, back before my daughter got married, I took her and her now husband to lunch one day. And when I walked in, she was describing that I don't know exactly what's going on with the employees in this restaurant, but there's tension and strife. And she was right there. The three of us couldn't wait to get out of there because something wasn't right. I wasn't there to, you know, address that situation. I was just there to have lunch. I can tell you, at Merit Assembly of God, we love being in right standing with God. We love being in right standing with one another. And we love the fact that God is a just God and he wants us to be a people who operate in justice. I've already told you I'm not perfect. That doesn't mean I want to make excuse for my flaws. In fact, you know, when God said wisdom is proved right by all our actions and he said, you're not behaving in wisdom here. And I had to address that situation. I changed it, got completely different results. It was amazing. But there was another time where a person said, look, the standards that you have are not just. Did you know that there are a lot of people in church that live by an unjust standard? Okay, so let me tell you my story, and then I'll come back and finish that. What that person said is, you treat this group of people different than you treat this group of people over here, simply because of the age difference. And it was like, oh my goodness, that's what they're saying is true. You know, I have people that tell me things all the time, and I evaluate them and say, is that their perspective or is it truth? Is it something that they're sharing out of frustration, or is it something that God's sharing because he loves me? And if it's something that is valid, then I make the adjustments. So what I said was that, and so I made the adjustments and I treated both sides equally. There are a lot of people that say, well, the pastor has one standard, and we expect him to live by that standard, but we don't have to live by that standard. We're not the pastor. We're not a board member. We're not the worship team member. And so their view on church attendance is different. Their view on commitment is different. Their view on behavior is different. They get to do things that they would get upset at the pastor for doing. And I want you to know that God loves justice. He wants us all to operate by the standard of justice that he loves. One last thing in verse number 5, as we get out of here, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. If you're going around and you're looking and you're seeing all of the problems, I want to ask God to open your spiritual eyes so that you'll see behind all of that stuff is a just God who will handle the problems. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Turn your ear to heaven and hear the noise inside, the sound of angels, the sound.